Would you pray with me? Father of light, shine on our hearts. Illuminate the things that would make us come alive to see and to hear and to do the things of your kingdom. Shine so bright, Lord, that the darkness of this world would be cast from us, that we would be surrendered to you. And let your word come alive in us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow, what a fun morning already. Are you having fun yet? We had a fun ride yesterday. There's nothing that says welcome home like a dog that got sick all over our couch. And after cleaning that up later in the middle of the night, he managed to get out of his crate and do it all over again. Welcome home. We went away for a quick jog out to Connecticut and back to see Lily. She put on an art show. She turned 30 last week, and so she did an art show called 30 for 30, and she did 30 new pieces over the last 2 months. And said it pushed her in a way that she's never been pushed before because she had to produce. She just had to produce. And so as an artist, she does kooky things like paint pictures of giant sequins and googly eyes and all sorts of crazy things. And this whole art place was filled with it, and it was really fun. But the real news is this. Number one child is bringing a baby to the world again. So we're going to be grandparents again, which is very exciting. A baby boy is on the way in February, so news and pictures to come and lots of bragging and all that fun stuff. Today I'm going to brag on the Lord. That's a good place to be, right? I mean, we look at the scriptures today and they're so encouraging. Say to those who are fearful-hearted, man, isn't fear everywhere? You got to worry about everything. You have to take a pill, or you have to have a shot, or you have to have some kind of thing to fix your life. Every commercial wants to tell us that, right? And then as the commercial's going on and you see these wonderful people dancing and doing things that even the average Joe can do, because that's what they're trying to sell you on, everybody can do this. The byline on the bottom is, this could cause heart attacks and blah, 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 blah. You may die. But, you know, just take this pill and, you know, get the recommendation of your doctor, you know. We're fearful of so many things. And yet, when we're with the Lord, when we're in his presence, you may not have known all of the songs this morning. We like to introduce new stuff to you, but we want the Lord to speak to you. So whether you're singing Apples and Oranges along with all of those words that fly by, it really doesn't matter as long as your heart is disposed to the loving God who wants to put you in his presence, put you in a place. I often will get over the years, not so much here, but over the years I'll get people who will say, well, you didn't do that prayer right, or this didn't go right, and all sorts of critique about things that would have fit that person's expectations, right? Worship is one of those sacred places. It's a touchstone for each of us. We want to feel encouraged. We want to meet the Lord. We want to say prayers that are familiar because they bless us, right? And so when they're different or they're out of place or you feel out of sync, you feel like something's wrong. And it's easier, instead of saying, Lord, speak to me through this even though I don't know it, we in our flesh go, and we complain. And the scriptures remind us in the midst of this, when we're fearful hearted, when we're not familiar, when we're a fish out of water, the Lord is the one who comes to our rescue. He's right there. So your disposition is something that is affected by your position. Let me say that again. Your disposition is affected by your position. People who want to be in shape work out, right? It doesn't happen by osmosis. You don't think, ooh, I'm going to be skinny and have six-pack abs. I've thought that for a long time. The evidence is clear. It doesn't happen without the discipline, right? And in the morning, we ought to say, Lord, what do you want us to do? I don't have it with me. Sometimes I will hear Kristen in the other room, and she's got a praise station that she kicks on in the morning. And I don't know if that's, you know, for her discipline. I won't speak for her, but when I hear it, it shifts my position. My morning position is coffee. Typically, it's like, fill it up and hook it up intravenous, please. But if your position is directed to the Lord, then your place with Him begins your day. It directs your heart. It orders your steps. Different day, right? If you don't do that, what's ordering your steps? Chaos, fear, doubt, shame, anxiety, bosses, friends, neighbors, whoever has what you perceive to be an expectation on you for the day, your disposition is in that direction. The scripture starts off as Isaiah speaks to the people of God, say to those with an anxious heart, be strong, don't fear. Well, I love that when somebody's dancing in the dragon's jaw and their friends are standing nearby going, be strong, don't fear. It seems so trite, right? When you're in the midst of something, somebody says, be strong, don't fear, but he's saying, be strong and don't fear, because someone fiercer than any dragon that's trying to swallow you has got your back. Live or die, you're his. You are his creation. He wants to fill you. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to bless you. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. He's not just coming going, well, I'd really like it, Lion, if you would back off of my friend Dan. He's feeling a little uncomfortable now. He says, move! We're going to hear that story today because Jesus says very specifically along the way. It's not a formula. It's not something that we can repeat. There is an authority that he passes to us. And when he chooses to dispense it, people are healed. But the reality is Jesus says very clearly, be opened to the deaf and mute man. Be opened. What's he speaking to? Is he speaking to ears that have too much wax in them? I've heard people say, you know, because they're not ready for them to express the miracle, they take the scriptures and they water them down so much that they say, well, it was probably that he had a lot of wax in his ears, or he just couldn't hear well. And so because he couldn't hear well, he couldn't speak well. That's true. When they talk about people in the first century being mute, it's because their inability to speak is affected by their inability to hear, right? Have you ever been in the deaf community? My sister-in-law is deaf and my brother-in-law are deaf, and they both have been, we've been in communities with them in a deaf church with them, and you've got all sorts of intonations going on from people who can't hear themselves. They're trying to sound out what they believe is, and they've been taught that way, to be, I can't believe my sister-in-law can speak, and she can speak clearly, but she can't hear a thing, not an ounce of sound. Because they've taught her how to use the vibration in her chest and the sound in her throat and the ability to use her mouth to shape and words, and she watches people's lips. She can read really well. So here we are in this strange place. I loved when I read the gospel lesson today, which is what I want to focus on, is this disposition of praise that the Lord has spoken to us so well in Psalm 146. Thank you, Dorothy. And from the message that we got from James, let every good and perfect gift come from above. We can't have anger be the disposition of our heart, right? When we get angry, we live in that anger. We self-fulfill that anger. We are disposed to being angry all day. One thing I say repeatedly to Kristen, I'm like, when I get old, I don't want to be a grumpy old man. Because I've known too many grumpy old men. They're not fun to be around. I want to be fun to be. I want to be the grandpa that grandkids just want to just fall asleep in my lap and just sort of absorb into me. I want to be the guy out, you know, doing the things that even though I shouldn't be doing and I might break a bone, I'm going to go out and do them anyway because it'd be fun with my grandkids. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Lord. Let's be together in saying, I'm going to challenge you this week. Would you put praise in your morning? Would you start your days with praise? I'll say more about that at the end. So here in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, we haven't yet got to Mark's version of the feeding of the thousands. Why I say that is because in two of the Gospel accounts, they say the feeding of the 5,000. In the Gospel of Mark, they say here the feeding of 4,000. We're not sure if it's one event or two events, but we certainly know that Jesus does something incredible right after this passage. But he's doing something incredible right here, right now. Mark chapter 7, verses 31. They're in the region of Goodyear and Firestone by the sea of, Portage Lakes? Sorry, when I heard Tyre the first time, I was like, Tyre? What's a Tyre doing in the scripture? Tyre and Sidon are at the northern part of the Mediterranean, so they're on the coast. They're a couple of the 10 major Hellenic cities. They're Greek cities that are known in that area. They're not really Jewish inhabited, more Gentile inhabited. And Jesus is returning from that region that he went through to the Sea of Galilee. Interestingly enough, that trip took so long, according to Bible scholars, that it probably was about 20% of Jesus' total ministry on earth. If you think of his ministry happening within the span of 3 years, that trip to Tyre and Sidon with his disciples took about 20%. We don't have a lot of information about that trip. What was he doing on that trip? We can only conjecture about the amount of time that he spent, but he was walking from a city that meant strong rock, Tyre, and Sidon, which meant fishery. He's teaching his disciples how to be strong. He's teaching his disciples from everything that they see in the countryside how to be fishers of men. Isn't that how he asked them to come along in the first place? So they're in these cities and they're headed back to Galilee. It's kind of like saying, I'm going to Charlotte by way of Atlanta. It seems kind of roundabout. And our conjecture says, and some of the theologians would say, commentators would say, he was teaching them to be disciples along the way. He was telling them stories and laughing with them and showing them how to deal with pain and grief and fear and anger. And here he is. They brought to him, who's the they? Well, the Jews were testing Jesus, right? They wanted to know what man made this man tick. He's already shown them that he's miraculous, and word is out that he's back in the area. And they brought a man who is deaf and has a speech impediment, they say, and they begged him to lay hands on him. What did they want to see? They wanted to see a miracle. When you come to church on Sunday mornings, do you want to see miracles? It's miraculous to hear again and again the love of God that he has for us. And sometimes we translate that love of God into, well, if you really love us. Have you ever had those words come out of your adolescent heart? You know, when we're immature about love, we say things like that. If you really love us, then fill in the blank. And sometimes we say to God, if you really love us, you'll let us see. You'll let us win the lottery. You'll let us, whatever, vacation in Aruba, whatever we might fill the blank in with. If you really love us, Lord, then this would happen. And sometimes when the people of God are testing Jesus, they're trying to set a trap for him. And in this case, that's what's happening. If he doesn't follow through, then they'll say, see, he doesn't have any power. And if he does follow through, they'll say, see, he's trying to do a magic trick for us, and we got to get rid of him. Why? Why are they so set on getting rid of him? Well, there's a feast coming up, a festival, a Feast of Tabernacles is coming up, and they don't want any distraction from the things that are going on that's coming around the corner. So let's get rid of this Jesus as he's coming along. So Jesus sees this man, and it's interesting. Their desire is, the Greek word is, to seize Jesus, to grab a hold of him, to lay a hold of him. And Jesus goes, oh no, let me lay a hold of the problem. And Jesus lays a hold of this man and goes somewhere private with him. Now, you have to understand, it's really hard. There's no Wikipedia there to describe everything that Jesus does and why he does it. And we don't even know. But we do know this about Jesus. He cares for each individual individually. He doesn't have a formula. He very clearly doesn't want there to be a formulary so people can, repeat things. He didn't want the disciples in with him when the little girl, Jairus' daughter, was raised to life, because he didn't want those words that he spoke over her to become an incantation. It wasn't about the words that were spoken, but the power of God speaking those words. And so he spits on his fingers. Now, this has got to be pretty disgusting to anybody who is watching, especially this deaf man. There had to be somebody observing what was going on, because it got written down this way. And maybe it was that they had so much travel time, the disciples asked the question, what did you do back there? What did he say when you spit on your fingers? Really, was it, didn't he think that was gross? Whatever it might be. I think there's such a level of expectancy. Here's a man who gave sight to the blind. He's raised the dead. He's made the lame walk. What could he do for me? Living in a world where I don't even begin to understand, but I am close enough to it because of my sister and brother-in-law, I can say they live in a different world than much of the handicapped world that we expect. The hearing world expects deaf people to respond the way that the hearing world responds, because they don't see anything else wrong with the person. So you don't know that somebody's deaf until they start signing. And you don't understand the fullness of not being able to hear, because it's not like living without an arm or having some kind of mental incapacity. The deaf world is extremely bright, extremely well-educated, but isolated. So this man, being isolated, he's in a place where he's hungry for a touch from the Lord so that he can operate in the way that a majority of the world operates, without impediment. And I think he's ready for Jesus to do just about anything that he could do. He put his fingers in his ears, and he unstops, and he speaks to him. It's really quite interesting, because here they were in this place. They're back in the Decapolis. They begged Jesus not to come back to that area long before. Earlier on, he healed the Gerasene demoniac in that area. And they said, please don't ever come back, because he's affecting the culture, the economy of the area, all those pigs he drowned, right? Where are they going to do their pig roast if there are no pigs left, right? So now he's returning to this area in the Decapolis, and he finds this man who they put before him. He's deaf, but he can't really speak well. And he was born this way. The man couldn't hear in a way that would allow him to function in the rest of the world. And so Jesus drew him aside and spoke to the thing that was keeping him from being free. I pause for effect here, because I think Jesus is speaking to you this morning. Because I think there are things in your life that are keeping you from being free. There are things that have been an effect. Sometimes it's natural. Some people are just born. My sister-in-law, she's born without the parts in her ear. They're just not there. it's not that, you know, people would recommend, they'd send clippings from the newspaper. Oh, you should buy your daughter Miracle Ear. It really works. She needs a miracle because God would have to grow parts in her head in order for her to be able to hear. No miracle ear is going to work for her. So sometimes deaf people are just deaf. But in this particular case, this deaf person, Jesus did something, whether it was internal parts being regrown or unstopping ears, he did something that allowed this man to have clear hearing. And I think that there are things that the Lord wants to speak to you today about your senses, spiritual sight, spiritual hearing. In the scripture this morning, we heard a description of be one who does not easily get angered. You've been given two ears and one mouth. Use them as they've been given to you, right? We should listen more than we speak. So here in Mark, Jesus draws this man aside. He puts his fingers in his ear, and then after spitting, he touches his tongue. Gross. But imagine you have not had a tongue that was loosed. You had not a tongue that was not moving. He was actually giving lubrication to this man's mouth to function the way that it should. Imagine having the very body and blood of Jesus prior to communion given to you. God, in the flesh, in his Son, was taking that which is natural to him, placing it in this man's mouth so that his tongue could be free to speak. Gross to us, beautiful in what it was trying to express, is that the very nature of Jesus was being given to this man so that not only his ears would hear, but his tongue would be loosed. Be opened, he said. Be opened. An expression that was nothing, I'm not going to give you any, you know, fancy metaphysical understanding of the word. It just said, be opened. He spoke to his body and said, ears, tongue, be opened. This man was then informed that he was not to tell anybody. Look at what was happening. Jesus was in an area that he was told never to come back to because he had changed the life of a man who was demonized, and that man told everybody. And they welcomed him back with open arms because they saw the man's testimony itself proclaimed to all of those people in the 10 cities, in the Decapolis. Crowds were coming. How often does the Lord want to loose our tongues? And we go, oh, that's not politically correct. I don't think people are ready to hear Christianese on that. Oh, I don't know. If I quote scripture, they might throw a rock at me. We have lots of excuses of why we don't express the testimony of what the Lord has done in our lives. But I think the more we do it, the more exciting it becomes, right? When was the last time where you shared something about the Lord and it was an encouragement to somebody? They went, oh, geez, I can't believe that you're sharing that with me. You prayed out loud. Come on. We don't believe in that mythical creature what you call God anymore. Do you? No. 9 times out of 10, when I got on the train, when I lived near New York City, I would sit next to people and eventually have a conversation. And the conversation would end with, hey, how can I pray for you before you get off the train? And they go, oh, well, you know, I just talked about my son. Maybe you could pray for my son. I said, is it all right if I pray? And they say, yes, because they're thinking, go, when you go home, when you go to your church, when you go back there in that comfortable place. And I said, is it okay for me to put my hand on you as I pray? And they're like, oh, you mean now? But by the time we get to the end of the prayer, people are going, he took the time to hear me. He took the time to love me. He took the time to pray for me and hand me to someone who's stronger than him to deal with my son. And tears are pouring down their face. That's what God does. God meets us in our need. God is able in a way to move so that we can say, well done, God, do it again. Did you know that that's the meaning of a testimony? The actual meaning of testimony is do it again. Do it again. Say it again. Do it again, Lord. We want to hear and see you do it again. And God's doing miracles in our midst. Friday nights, people are getting touched. People are getting healed. And I had a conversation with one of my kids. I have many kids over the years. Kids who came to me through youth group, kids who came to me through family. And one of my kids this weekend said to me, you know, I've been on this long healing journey. And I'm just so grateful that you didn't reject me along the way, because I need to apologize to you for the times that I lied, for the times I said I was doing one thing and did another, for the times that I wasn't honest and true to all that you were pouring out and into my life. And all I could say was, you know, I got to apologize to you, because in that moment, I was responding in the flesh to my own hurt. And sometimes I wasn't so good at speaking kindly to you and just letting the Lord work in you. The fact of the matter is, this person was saying, my journey and the Lord have brought me to a place where I'm still growing, and I'm grateful, and I love you, and I would never do anything to speak negatively to you or lie to you. I just was in a place where that was the truth I could believe. And I need your forgiveness. That's how we come to the Lord, isn't it? Aren't we so grateful? Can't we just praise the Lord every time that he forgives us? And he comes to us, he goes, yeah, I knew you were being stupid. Because sometimes we were just really being stupid. And he loves us anyway. And he brings us to the next level. He says, hey, how about, Dan, how about 30 for 30? For the next 30 days, you take on this discipline. And at the end of 30 days, we're going to celebrate that you pushed yourself to a new level. Now, I'm not going to do 30 art pieces in 30 days like Lily did, but I can say to you, the Lord is challenging us to be more purposeful about how we live. Be opened, Jesus says. And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. That's a miracle. If you never heard before, and you never understood how words were supposed to sound, and he spoke plainly, there was something that transcended the natural, and now in the supernatural gave this person the ability to speak like everybody else spoke. His disability was now an ability beyond just the ability to hear and to speak. His ability now was the ability to testify to the power of God. It was something greater. And people can't deny that. They can't deny your testimony. You know, we try to argue God and we'll say, let's go to the scripture. We'll point out these pieces along the way and we'll help you understand that if you just think hard enough, you'll know that God is real and you'll place faith in him. And if you place faith in him, then you will have a life that is blessed. Doesn't work that way. The way that we come to the Lord is we hear people's testimony and they give us their elevator speech and they say, I don't know, I was 14 years old and my life was falling apart. I was so compartmentalized in my life. I didn't feel like a human being. And then I met Jesus Christ. He's my personal Lord and Savior and he has walked with me. His Holy Spirit has empowered me and my life has never been the same since, and I wouldn't choose any other way. When you say it with that fervor and power, people can't deny that. They can, you know, blithely say, well, that's your truth. I have my truth. I do my thing. But when you say it with the power of the Spirit that is in you, suddenly there's something transferred in the spiritual realm that they walk away saying, he's got something I want. He's got something I want. The man, Jesus charged this man not to tell anyone, but the more he charged them, or more he charged the people around them, the more they proclaimed it. They were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He does all things well." It sounds so English, almost British in its translation. I mean, it's not enough for the story, is it? "Oh, he does all things well. Gee, Mrs. Cleaver, you have a lovely dress today." You know, it seems so bland. "He does all things well." But when you get behind the words, you're saying, "He is perfection on earth." Why would we want to go anywhere else? Peter says, "Where would we go with all these people leaving you? You have the words of life." So when we struggle with what to say or what to do or where to go, would I, as a pastor, encourage you? Turn to his word. When you're lost and you need directions, turn to his word. When you're broken and you have something in your flesh that's contrary to living, like disease or cancer or a cold or any infirmity, turn to God's word. Say to those who are anxious in heart, "Don't fear, because your God is the one who wants to rescue you. He's done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." So my question to you, as I spoke earlier, is what conundrum do you have to put before the Lord? You know that we're all two in nature, 2 years old. Why? 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 Those are our questions to the Lord. Those are our hardest questions before the Lord. Why did my brother have to die at 66 years old? Why did my friend Jan pass before his time? He had so much more to teach me. I've gotten that answer. The Lord has said, "Because it's your turn, Dan. Take the principles he's taught you and teach them." Why? When we're in a place where we're turning to the Lord with the whys, we have to recognize that he wants us to be so yielded to him that we're desperate for the answer. And in our desperation, he's able to say, "Be opened." Say to those who are fearful hearted, "Do not be afraid. Your God with a vengeance will come and bless you." Does that mean those of us who are physically ailed are going to be magically changed? Probably not. But when we yield ourselves to the Lord, our disposition becomes our position. You heard me say that at the beginning. Our heart's position, our desire to follow the Lord, it affects our disposition. So if we position ourselves with the Lord, our disposition is to listen for him and not listen for the world's answers, right? Our heart is positioned. Now, where's the best place to get our hearts in the right position? His word. And I hate to beat the same drum over and over again, but if you're not regularly reading his word, or it's being read to you, I love that you can go to an app. I'm an auditory channel learner. So, Kristen's either reading to me in the car on the way on our 8-hour trip yesterday. She read a whole book yesterday on her way from Connecticut back, and then threw it in the back seat because it had a lousy ending. She did. I can get up in the morning, and if I have earbuds in or I just want to press play, I can press play on my Bible app on my phone. Just let the word play over you. Trust it. Let it encourage you. I like how Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, I think it's verse 8, he says, "Whatsoever is good, whatsoever is kind, whatsoever is praiseworthy, think on these things." Our minds are consumed with all of the things that the world is wrong, and it's going to get worse over the next 2 months, folks. Hate to tell you, there's so much hate over the television and over the news media and over the, all the advertisements for every thing that you click on the computer, turn it off. Turn it off, because the Lord wants to speak to you. And he's not going to say those things that we're hearing in commercials. So a friend of ours came to me in the middle of the art show the other night. And she said, "I'm really curious, because I know you're a conservative Christian. What do you tell your people in the political mess that's going on right now? How do you direct them?" And I said, "Well, first of all, I don't bring politics into the pulpit. I'm not going to tell you how to vote. I'm going to tell you to use your mind. I'm going to tell you to follow the heart that the Lord has placed in you. I'm going to tell you to immerse yourself in Scripture. And I will go to one Scripture again and again and again." I said, Micah 6:8 says this: "He has shown you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly." Attack ads and hatred, spouting anger or tearing down someone's character, that is not doing justly and loving mercy and walking humbly with God. And I won't have any part of it, and I don't want my people to have any part of it. As we walk into this season, trust the Lord to point you in the right direction, to ask, is this rhetoric or is this truth? Is this a person who lacks integrity or can't follow through on what they said, or is saying one thing and doing another? Then how do you discern that value? Read, people. Read, mark, and inwardly digest all that's going on so that you might be led by the Lord in how you live your life. If your position is in Him, in His Word, then your disposition for the rest of the day is going to be joy and life and truth and power and peace. Jesus didn't want this mission that he was on to go any faster than it was already rolling. That's why he told the people not to say anything, because he knows the second the word gets out, the crowds are going to get bigger, the word is going to be harder to dispense, and I don't want my mission circumvented. What happens next, did I say? The feeding of the 4,000. 4,000 people showed up after this event. You know, are you ready? I don't know that we're ever going to see 4,000 people show up in church on Sunday, but if you start sharing the love of Christ, people are going to say to you, "Where do you go to church? How do I hear about this stuff?" Invite them and ask them to enter in. Not so that we can have more people in the pews, but so that we can share the joy that the Lord has put in our hearts. My word to you today is one that we can speak about the Lord. It's our testimony. Well done. Well done, Lord. You're amazing. You not only heal, but you bring life to everything that comes forth from your word. Every word that comes out of your mouth is transformational in our lives. Why wouldn't we want more? Lord, where are we going to go? Peter says, "You have the words of life." Let's spend a lot of time in his word. Today, my challenge to you is this: start your week with praise. Go on Spotify if you have Spotify. Get on Apple Music if you have Apple Music. Go to the internet and type in praise music. And let it crank in the morning as you get your day started, so it starts you up. It gets the position of your heart in a disposition toward the Lord, so that the things that you say, whatever is good, whatever is right, whatever is faithful, whatever is praiseworthy, think on these things. They will be the things that direct you and speak life to other people around you, as opposed to all the negative that we see and feel. And sometimes in the flesh, want to be a part of. You have the ability to ask the Lord for your heart to be changed. You have the control to yield to Him. Let's do it together. Amen. Amen. Amen.